have back-to-back shows running 3 minutes late. I'm always late to everything. I apologize to all of our loyal viewers. Hey, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm joined by Jim Donnan, the former Georgia Bulldogs head coach, and Dane Young, our executive producer extraordinaire, managing PA, whatever you want to call him. He's our guy here, and we appreciate him being on the show. But we mainly are excited to have Coach Donnan here so we can pepper him about G-Day questions. G-Day is this Saturday. It's another one of those check marks throughout the long offseason. Think about it. We're in April. 4 months in. It's always a nine-month offseason before the baby's delivered. You hit that four-month mark, you've already checked off, you know, the daylight savings time, the end of basketball season, the beginning of baseball. There's all these little check marks, you know. Then you go into Memorial Day and then Labor Day at the end, 4th of July. Spring practice is one of the big ones, and it culminates in G-Day, and of course, they're going to have a lot of people in the stadium to watch the 22-23 newcomers, plus see what they have in this team. Everything should go great this Saturday. We'll talk about more on what Coach expects to see from G-Day. We have some questions for him, but I want to get into something that happened on UGASports.com. That is where we work, and we had a mega donor. And I mean mega donor, come on our board and basically sound the alarm. This is a person who talks to Kirby Smart all the time. And he said, look, Kirby is very worried about Georgia's NIL status right now. April 13th, you have G-Day. April 15th, the transfer portal opens. And most people would think, well, the transfer portal opened back in December and Georgia lost some players. They added some. You know, this should be like that second signing period where not a whole lot happens. That might not be the case this year. It could be the case where Georgia loses some depth pieces. And Kirby Smart has been going around, according to this donor, who is a multi-million dollar donor. This isn't a guy who's just given like 10 grand. This is one of Georgia's biggest donors. And he says, look, I've heard Kirby Smart speaking, and Kirby Smart is very worried about where Georgia ranks in NIL. There are other schools out there who are willing, whose fans, whose collectives are willing to pay our players more if they go to those other schools. So he's had to go from being a coach to being a fundraiser. You know, that's no fun for him. That's not what he wants to do, but he's worried about it. And so if Kirby's worried about it, I brought it to our members at UGA Sports. Now they're worried about it. And I want to go to somebody who is behind the scenes, who works with the Athletic Association all the time, who is a mentor, Kirby Smart, as Coach Jim Donnan. And Coach, what is the situation? I want to get it straight from you, because you know Kirby, you know these donors, you know all these people. How does it stand? What can we expect on April 15th when the portal opens?
Well, first of all, I don't know that I'm any kind of mentor to Kirby, but, you know, I'm certainly like being around him. But I think it's not a case of anybody crying wolf here. I mean, they're not overreacting. It's a reality that is pretty much around anywhere that has a good program, because the more players you have, the better chance that somebody else is going to come after them, because they know they've been trained in a good situation, and they know that they might could be easy pickings, because you can say to them, look, you're not playing as much as you could play here. We can pay you more, whatever it might be. But it certainly will be the next month will be cataclysmic. I mean, it'll be unbelievable. I've said before, Alabama getting ready to have an unbelievable situation, because all the guys they lost, and now all the money they have and the roster that they've got to bring guys in, there'll be a lot of people want to go there. So I just think, as far as what you mentioned about what our situation is, two things. Well, we were winning and dominating, and like we did, these other schools are trying to figure a way to catch up. And the best way is with NIL. So they were working it hard. We were working it too, but it's hard to say, look, we need the money, we need all this, when you're winning all these games. And so it wasn't as much of an issue. The other issue is these kids are so much better at it 3 years into it than they were the first year. Everybody knows how to market themselves through an agent. They know how to use the system. And certainly they want to be developed and all that, but you can't blame them for for looking at the money that's out there. So I think the biggest reason that Kirby is sounding the alarm is that we have a certain payroll that we've got to meet. I mean, it's just there. And for us to keep some of the players that we've kept and add some ones that we brought in, the payroll has grown up. It's gone up. And the donors have been great, and they're doing some things with the collective, and hopefully we'll get some money from the, you know, TV and all that. But long story short, it's not a crisis here for sure. We're right there, but it's like any business. You've got to have continuing cash flow to meet your payroll, to meet your marketing needs, whatever it might be. So all we need to do is just keep it going, but understand that if we do like we were 2 years ago, we're going to get passed up because we can't catch up with that. But that game the other night was outstanding. A lot of people there, very good, made some money. That helps. And I think we're on the right track as far as educating people about what needs to be done. And hopefully we can get some of this corporate money as well.
Now, a lot of people said, well, look, it's not sustainable. You can't keep doing this because this, you know, this month you're behind. And I know a lot of people hate their term payroll, but it's what it is. NIL is how they're getting paid. And if you've watched this show, you know we don't fall for the nuance. We try to cut through it. We don't try to sugarcoat anything. We tell you plainly, as plainly as we can say it, even when I stutter, you know. It is a payroll, as Coach says. Georgia has to meet it, and they are only going up. And so people say, look, if I give now, what's to keep you from coming back next year saying, well, look, we need twice as much money? It isn't sustainable. I get that. But as Coach mentioned, you know, when they start giving out these $46 million checks from the, you know, SEC corporate office to the schools for television rights, like, why can't they use that? For now, they can't. It's not being done. Kirby can't pay them. The Athletic Association can't pay them. The only place this NIL stuff can come from, because it's for name, image, and likeness, it's still under that pretense, it has to come from businesses, as Coach says, corporations, people paying for the name, image, and likeness. So it is incumbent upon the fans and the donors to do it. Yes, Georgia, at some point, in all the other schools, we'll try to bring that in-house so you don't have to go through a collective, and the students can be paid directly. They can have contracts that can be classified as employees, whatever the solution is. But that solution is not going to happen between now and April 15th. It's probably not going to happen between now and next year. So to Coach's point, when you were behind
this one thing, and you did a good job of explaining that, but I do feel like that our fans need to know. We've got basically three streams here. The first one is the marketing stream, where people are corporate sponsors of UGA, and there would be, what, like you say, tier one, Coca-Cola, Starbucks, whoever it might be. And that money goes into the pot, and that helps generate and sustain the other sports as much as anything. Then you have the TV ads, TV that you bring in. That's the second way, which that money also goes into the total budget and coaches' salaries, everything all involved. And then the third one is booster money, which we do a great job. Ford Williams, his staff, unbelievable how much money they've raised over the last few years, on top of the fact that they've raised money supplemental through the McGill Society to build these facilities. So those three streams of income at this point, there's no way that goes directly to the NIL.
Right.
So how are you going to get it to the NIL without just getting from the boosters separately on top of what else they do? And when you say contract, you've got to have a little bit of a contract that legally that a player has to, you know, to be able to get this money. He's got to do something for it. You just can't give him the money. So so a guy has, let's say Dane's a offensive lineman, and he has a contract that says you're going to do these certain events. and we're going to pay blah, blah, blah per month. And most of the guys have that on a straight up salary basis. Now the stars have separate deals that are outside the collective. A guy like Brock Bowers or Stetson Bennett and now Beck, you know, anything they get outside the collective is not through the athletic department. It's through, it has to go through, it's being approved, but it goes through a separate account. So those players are on contract too, but then on top of that, they get extra. So I hope I explained that. But
no, you did, because I wasn't doing a good enough job explaining where the money comes from, because the number one pushback we heard was, why as a fan should I be paying players? They're just going to drive Lamborghinis. They're just going to get tickets. They're just going to fritter it away. That is BS. And I get that. They're like, Kirby Smart makes $11 million. The Athletic Association got a $46 million check from CBS. I get all that. The point is, right now, that, as Coach points out, those revenue streams cannot, by rule, by law, by fiat, cannot go to the players. So other schools, to your point, Ole Miss needed a defense. What did they do? They went up and hit up a bunch of really rich Ole Miss people, and they gave them a lot of money. And in the transfer portal back in December, they bought a defense. You saw Texas A&M did it the first year that NIL was available, that, you know, reputed $30 million signing class. It doesn't always work out.
It happens. It's great the way you're saying that, but here's the thing about it. Ole Miss is struggling to make these payroll. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these people said they were going to come through. It hasn't worked so far. I mean, the rumor is there's guys there that aren't getting making the payments that they said they would. Florida State has some issues too. So it's not
Florida just, had one that quarterback that they lost.
It's not just Georgia, but yeah, I just think that everybody needs to just, and this is the way that I've always felt about anything, approach this with an open mind and understand, like I said, you're not crying wolf, but, you know, if you just go back to when Kirby first got here, he said, we need to upgrade the facilities. If we're going to do well here, we need to do what we need to do facility wise for the players, and the fans and the supporters have been unbelievable with the way they've been able to do that. And now that's not a negative when you go out to recruit somebody. You're not having to defend yourself that, hey, we'll get a weight room like this, or we'll have an indoor facility, or we're going to have a better dressing room. That's not an issue. So what we're having to deal with now is they know they can be developed as pros. They know they can win championships, but can they make as much money as they make it another place? So
that's fair. So my point is, I'm not saying the fans need to do that forever, and I'm not saying all the big donors need to come through, but as some people pointed out, they have – the Classic City Collective has a 21 club where you give 21 bucks a month, and if you spread it out over – there's 90 – they'll remember, Dane did a great story yesterday about 93K day. Kirby Smart changed the calculus at the University of Georgia when he came in, went to that basketball game against Arkansas and said, I want to see 93,000 people sitting in the stands at G-Day. This is going to be the, eighth anniversary of that. You won't have 93,000, but you'll have a lot. But for a normal game, you'll have 93,000 people in the stands. If you had 10,000 of them giving $21, all of a sudden you're like, hey, that's $2.1 million. We're doing pretty good. So my point is, you could spread it out. Not everyone has to do anything huge. For the people who say it's unsustainable, I do see it changing, but it's not going to change in the intermediate point. So as Coach says, it's not – Kirby's not crying wolf. He's not doing this because it's not an issue. It is an issue, but we'll see how – and that gala raised $1.5 million. They're getting active, and hopefully George is able to go toe-to-toe with everybody come April 15th and beyond. So, but, you know, I just want to let people know that wasn't made up. It was real, and I wanted Coach's take on it, and he gave us a good one.
Yeah, I think, too, he's our coach, and he's the guy that is chairman of the board, and this is his, this is his support group, and he needs to know that the people behind him are going to listen to him. That's all I'm saying, and I don't believe that it's an issue of, hey, this is blah, blah, blah. It is a reality But here's the point about April 15th. You're going to have to make some hard and fast decisions. If you're running a corporation, you're going to have to decide, am I going to keep this situation here? It's really not making me any money, and I'm paying it, putting a lot in as compared to this. That's what's going to have to happen on April 15th for us. This guy's a good player, but I can't justify giving him what we were giving him when he's not producing. And it's nothing against the fact he's not. It's just the competition. So you'll see that somebody else, and I thought Kirby made a good point, when guys come into him to talk to him about leaving, it's not real funky, but it's the truth that the next day they're going somewhere else because they got a plan.
Yeah.
They know what they're going to do. And they say, hey, coach, this is what I got. What can you do it for me? And he definitely tries to do it, but he's not going to do it at the expense of the team. You know what I mean? You got to manage your budget and use it accordingly. And you're going to lose some people because of it. But
I think the approach the whole time has been correct. It's just the price has gone up. And if the price has gone up, the easiest thing to do instead of going to the same donors over and over again is to say, look, let's spread the burden out over a bunch of people until it gets internalized, until you can get it maybe TV money or whatever the solution is. And again, to your point, it's not sustainable. Ole Miss, FSU, Florida, everybody's having issues with it. Georgia's having issues with it, but some schools are having a better time than others.
I would say this, though, to the fan that says, hey, you know, what else can I do? There's all kind of ways that people at Georgia are trying to do it. The fundraising people, the marketing, the collective. There's a ton of people working hard to get this money without asking other people for it. Okay. It's not just like, help us out. I mean, it's just the fact that you've got to be creative. You got to find new ways to adjust. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah. I do like the idea of Dogcast here saying offering access to the every fan is doable. Seems like an obvious option. I think that, you know, there's a lot of options on the table. We had a great thread out at UGASports.com about things that they could do to I don't say open it up. You're not gonna let everybody come in to watch practice, but there's tours, there's access, there's stuff you could do. And hopefully we will see some of that. I'm all for it.
And the headlines coming up after G-Day is going to be about players that left. But if you look at the short and the small sample size that we have of the transfer portal here, the teams that are winning championships, it's not that they're winning and going to get players out of the portal. They're doing some of that well. It's how they retain their current roster. So as much as the players that leave Georgia are going to get the headlines, who's staying at Georgia? I think that's going to be the big thing.
Agreed. And to your point, that's – I think the fear for this week or next week is what depth do you lose? Because I don't see them losing a bunch of starters, but Georgia's been a championship team because whenever somebody got hurt, you were able to plug in a guy who's pretty damn good. And that has, they've been able to roll over the competition. But Kirby's lost four reality. Home games in his tenure in Athens. Come on. That's
reality cool. Though. It's going to happen. I mean, don't be shocked. I mean, and we're just warning you because you can't, it's American dream, you know, help yourself. So people are going to look to play more. You can't blame a guy if he can play more in a better, you know, situation for him individually and money wise too. So, so many of these guys have stayed here and fought the fight and been part of the good old boy system of being on a team. That's helped a lot in Kirby's regime, but it's going to be more and more difficult to do because you've got to realize too, some of these kids come from families that don't have hardly anything. And this is a chance to help your family out. We've had kids that left and took the money to help. I know one kid's father was on dialysis, and I mean, there's a lot of ways that things happen. You can't just be mad at these guys for leaving.
Yeah, I don't think people will. The people are mad at the system that requires the fans to fund it when there's millions and billions of dollars in college football. They're like, Why are you coming to me for $21? Evan Grimes points out that they had a deal where you could buy a hedge at Georgia and you got the ability to plant it. You could actually, because they're changing out the hedges, they have a certain lifetime, and it's time to put in new hedges. And they were offering you can buy a hedge and you get to plant it for $5,000.
But that wasn't for collective. I think that was for athletic. But listen, everybody likes to read your site and talk about the baseball team and the gymnastics and all these other sports. They got to fund these things. And so the athletic department's paying for all that. So we just got a lot of different issues. So what else we can say except believe the man. He's telling the truth.
That's what I really want to boil down to was I want to get one more opinion and I want to get it from somebody who knows. And I know you talk to him. So if he's, in other words, just as a good journalist, we always want more than one source. And I've been hearing this from a lot of people. That's why I asked the gentleman, the big donor, to put that note on the board. He did. And we've heard it from a bunch of people, but I wanted to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. So we appreciate that, Coach. Speaking of horse's mouth, get your mouth wrapped around one of these out of from our friends at Academia Brewing Company. This new beer they have out there is called Los Pantalones. I'm excited about it. So it's the pants. It is a Mexican chocolate imperial stout. It's both on tap and in the bottle. What a better way to spend your Thursday than Academia with poker at 7 o'clock and Los Pantalones on hand. So you can go out there and play a little poker. You know, they also have trivia nights. They had a car show this past weekend. They'll have bike nights. They'll have live music. And they'll have Los Pantalones beer, man. That's just a Mexican chocolate imperial stout. I can't wait to try that next time I get out there. Of course, we mentioned the T-Bone Steaks they had last week and all the fun stuff they do at Academia Brewing Company. Check them out when you get a chance. I'm sure you will absolutely love the beer and the food there. Also, check out our friends at Athens Ford. They got some new specials for April. $7,000 off all 2024 Ford Edge. Ford Edge is a good car, great size of car. You know, if you want something a little bit that kind of fits you and zips around town really well, try the Ford Edge and you can get $7,000 off or 0% APR for 60 months for qualified buyers on a 2024 Ford Edge. That's pretty sharp. They do still have some 2023 Ford Broncos, and now you can get $6,000 off MSRP on those. 2023 Ford Explorer, you can get $8,000 off of those. So there's a lot of great deals right now. Go to athensford.com, look at their new inventory, see the deals they have, look at their used inventory, check out those deals. The cool thing, if you see a car on there, it's not just going to be one picture of it. There'll probably be 20 to 50 pictures of it, every possible thing they can do. You can spin it around and check it out. It's a great website to go car shopping on. Plus, just about every car you buy from there will have a lifetime powertrain warranty. So check out our friends at Athens Ford. They're a huge supporter of this show. They're also huge supporters of the Georgia Bulldogs. So support those who support your team.
Coach, I want to move on the field here for G-Day. Historically, under Kirby Smart, Georgia passes a lot on G-Day, and you don't see a lot of the defensive coverages. Even reviewing that 2016 news conference after his first G-Day, he said, I hope opponents didn't see much from us because we only ran about two of the coverages that we have. You as a coach, what is your eye drawn to in a spring game when you know that they're holding a lot of things back because they don't want Clemson to see what they're working with?
Yeah, a little bit of both, but you know, they've had a couple scrimmages and the other practices to evaluate the players, but basically it's just a game type situation so your guys can feel what it's like to have fans in the stands and things like that. And the way the TV stuff is set up and all, you know, you can watch everybody else's spring game, but they watch all your tape from the year before, and there's not a lot you can really keep from them, except they're going to probably evaluate your personnel more than anything compared to the players that are playing now compared to the ones that were in there last year and new players. But the one part that was always tough in a spring game is to simulate a game because you're not playing, pretty evident, you're not playing against another team. So you have to supply enough people for two teams. That means special teams. Instead of one punt team, you've got to have two. Instead of one kickoff return, you got to have two, everything, which is pretty easy to figure out. But let's say a couple guys get hurt at one position, then you're trying to evaluate everybody else, but you're really deficient in that position. And the reason they do more passing is because you avoid a lot of the big pile-up deals that you get in the running game. And, you know, you want to avoid injury as much as you can. And open field plays are a lot easier to maybe not have the injury factor you would with everything always condensed in the big pileups. And they run a running clock, too, so it'll go pretty fast. So Kirby probably wants to watch the last nine holes of the Masters, too. So,
you've mentioned before that G-Day is a really important day for the true freshman to get that experience in the stadium, the sight lines, the energy, all of those things. Also important for walk-ons, that may be one of the only times they actually get on the field in Sanford Stadium. But the transfers that come in, maybe they've played college football like a Colby Young. What is a spring game like for them just to ingratiate them to the team? Because they likely don't have the same butterflies in playing in a big stadium, right?
Yeah, for Colby Young, it's going to be nice. Instead of having to ride 45 minutes to go over to the spring game, he can just ride two blocks. So Miami
catching shots.
So I just had to throw that out. But I just think you want them to experience the culture and realize what it's like to be involved with the G. And I always told our players, this is a special place. And every place you coach is special, but you if you're going to represent this G, I want you to represent it with class. Go out there on Saturday and make sure you don't do anything stupid and put your teammate in jeopardy by hitting late or blocking in the back or doing something that would hurt our team. But, I think just from a guy like Dominic Lovett came in here last year, rah-rah came in here, they learned a lot between the spring and the fall about our culture, about the way what was expected of them. And I think that's what you see with the transfers. But but certainly the younger guys that are mid-year guys to actually realize that dream and know that all of a sudden it's here. I'm on a scholarship. I'm playing for a number one ranked team. And here's all the fans watching me play. I should be going to the prom tonight. So, you know what I mean? It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. I think a lot of eyes will be on just taking a gauge of the fan base. A lot of eyes will be on the backup quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, because we always look at who's the backup guy. But from what I heard about the scrimmage, Carson Beck was just the one. He was really hot. I think people will see a more comfortable Carson Beck, they'll watch Gunner, they'll watch the new guys. You know, everybody wants to see who the new players are. But the only thing that I see people really concerned about, not really concerned about, but the thing they mentioned more and more, and we've even had in the comments here, we had in the comments last night, was everyone's excited. We spoke so much about, you know, Micah Morris, Tate Radledge, Dylan Fairchild, you know, there's those guards. Jared Wilson, the center, who's so fast. You know, Xavier Truss, who's been at Georgia for 17 years. Ernest Green, who's just a monster out there at left tackle, who's just a people pusher. The question we get a lot is, well, what about Georgia's defensive line? And we mentioned this last week. There's a couple clips in the Alabama game where a guy's getting double teamed and a guard pushes a Georgia guy to the ground and people come out and say, oh, Georgia's got thrown around on defense. I'm like, it's not exactly how it happened, but give me your thoughts on the defensive line, coach, because if there's a weakness on this team or a perceived weakness on this team, that's where it is. Kirby was asked kind of the same question last week, and he came to his defense, his squad's defense, which you would expect, but I'll remember Kirby calls it like it is, but he said, I wouldn't trade my defensive front for anybody's in the nation. So kind of either reassess, reassure us, or tell us what your concerns are about Georgia's defensive linemen.
Well, we answered this last week. Same thing came up, and we answered it, and you went over what Kirby said. And I'll say it again. I just feel like that our perimeter defense around our D-line is going to be a big plus because our linebacking, particularly inside linebackers, are going to be a strength. which they can make a lot of plays if a guy gets blocked. Hey, a big guy is going to get blocked. I mean, you know, they're going to put a big guy on him. But if he can take up the space, then that's going to let these linebackers run. And then these edge rushers, who we've got a lot of good-looking young guys there that you'll see on Saturday. So I think the combination of the 11 players we'll have on defense will eliminate any lack of just overwhelming strength on the D-line, where you just got a guy like Jalen Carter who knocks people back. I do feel like that, you know, some guys like Hall and Jamal Jarrett are really developing. Jarrett's lost weight. He's getting where he can move better. These young guys we've got coming in to transfer from South Carolina, the kid from
Xavier McLeod.
Yeah, the kid from Texas and the one from North Carolina all look good on the hoof, and they can run, which is good. You got to be able to move sideline to sideline. So I think the combo of our offense being ahead, which is going to be, again, most games with our O-line and our quarterback, is going to enhance our defense because most of the teams are going to be playing from behind. Now, maybe Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, it'll be questionable there how that'll go. But you can call defenses a lot better when you're ahead, that's for sure. But also situationally, use some of the fronts that we used last year. So if I had to say, am I concerned on it on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being scared freakishly out of my mind, I would say I'm about a 2.
There you go. See, you and Kirby on the same path there. I guess it's just because in comparison, when you have those really good wideouts that you're excited about, you're really good. You're excited about Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp. You're thrilled about your quarterback. You're excited about Malachi Starks. You know that Michael is going to, you know, standing up a little bit more and going to rush. And we had a great feature today on Jalen Walker, his pass rush capability. In other words, you mentioned the inside linebackers. The only area by comparison that looks weak is that defensive front. And Kirby's like, I got Warren Brinson. I got Nazir Stackhouse. I got Jordan Hall, who looks amazing. Like you said, Jarrett's lost weight. Christian Miller. Come on, man. That guy's – he can
– Warren Brinson. Hey, but let me just say this. You just went through some comparison. You got to feel like that we're better off at defensive line with the losses that we had in the D-line compared to tight end. Sure, those guys are going to be good, but we don't have a Brock Bowers, so we don't have a Jalen Walker. But, you know, I think the people are very competitive, and Belk. And
you mean Jalen Carter. Georgia does have a Jalen Walker.
Delk and Lucky, certainly, but I don't see that there's that much of a bridge difference between our D-line and who we lost and then our tight ends and the number 5 or 6 guy in the country. So, you know, I don't know. I don't need to get into arguing about it. But I do feel like our overall talent base, very similar to what we had last year. And corner especially, we're a lot better off going in a corner. I just hope that we don't lose some of these guys. You know, I don't know that we will or not, but it's hard to play 6 corners.
Yeah, that is tough. You also don't have Ladd McConkey, but you got some pretty good wideouts there. So you are missing some pretty big talent spots. But
well, Roseme.
Yeah, Roseme too. Wow, that's a big one. So, again, it's just the easy thing is to worry about the defensive front. But when you look at that inside linebacker core, it's interesting today, Coach, that Kirby's letting Terrell Foster speak to the media.
He should. He's a good player.
I know, but I don't think I've seen people say, who's Terrell Foster? I'm like, he's technically a walk-on still, I think.
Yeah, we got we got these guys, who knows what their NIL is, but you say this, the same thing about running back. We don't have anybody proven at running back close to what we have in the D-line.
That's a good point. Yeah, so can't wait to see. We did get a question right off the bat from Georgia Boy 13, he says, can you possibly tell me how long Trevor Etienne will be out, if at all? What's your thoughts there? I imagine he'll miss that first game.
I just don't know what the extent of the charges are going to be. You know, I mean, if it's a certain charge, then it's going to be mandated by the university one game. I don't know if it has to be the first game, but who knows that? I don't want to project that one way or the other because I don't know enough about it, but I do know he's had to pay a pretty good price for his own situation as far as he's not getting many reps out there to practice. They're not letting him play hardly at all. So from what I've heard.
When Kirby addressed that situation, the first thing he said was there will be in-house punishment. And I understand he's very familiar with the Sanford Stadium steps by now.
Yeah, if you were – I know they do this in the fall. I don't know if they do it in the spring, but one of the things that's just got to be – I don't know if you call it degrading or what, but if you're an injured player during practice there, during the stadium, and they got these buckets of that are filled with – it must be concrete or something, and they're just having to walk – from one end of the stadium and another carrying those, and it's hard to pick them up and just kind of swinging along, and those guys are out there practicing, you carrying your buckets like some people are carrying groceries, and then they're on running up the steps and then running across the field, and it's just a good way to make sure they understand if you're injured, you need to get back. But if you're really severely injured, they wouldn't put you out there, you know. So.
Yeah, there's not a – in high school, I remember there would always be a star player or two who's got a hamstring issue or ankle issue, and he couldn't do all the runs that we did. You know, the coach needed to save him for Friday, and there's a lot of not doing these certain reps or these certain drills. And it's funny how it always cleared up right about game time, right about the time of the kickoff. Oh, man, that guy's completely healthy and ready to go, coach.
Yeah, I'll give you an example, too, of just the psychology of it. And I know Stetson wouldn't mind me saying this, but a couple of years ago, you have the spring clinic and the coaches come in, all the coaches, and, 700, 800, and they're watching our guys and all. But Stetson had an issue with a class or something that, Kirby and Munkin weren't happy about. And, he's the quarterback on the defending national champions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they go out there for the clinic. And he doesn't take one rep. They don't let him do one thing. And just to show him, hey, we can play without you. And all these other people are seeing what Carson Beck can do, what Vandergriff can do. And you're sitting over here. And everybody's asking, why aren't you out there? And we're not going to tell them, but they can guess. So you see what I mean? That's the way to do things.
Well, I also like the fact that if you were – I don't say faking an injury, but if you're like, coach, I'm really kind of beat up, we're going to make it worse for you carrying buckets of concrete and doing stadium steps or being on a bike or whatever. If it's upper extremity, we're going to work out your lower extremity. If it's lower extremity, we're going to work out your upper extremity to the point that you're like, God, I just wish I could get back to practice because it would be easier. So I love it. Like you said, the psychology of it. So
yeah, we used to have a deal too that if you went through your whole career without being on the Red Cross team, so to speak, mm-hmm. that you got your name put up on a board of, hey, that you made every practice for 4 years. Wow. And not many guys do that. And we had a guy that was, he was hurt. His ankle was hurt. And he came out to practice with a regular jersey on. I said, what are you doing? You need to get, he said, coach, I've been here for 3.5 years, and I'm on my name on that board, and I don't care. They're going to have to carry me off on a stretcher. And so that's what you're talking about. But Ron Corson does a good job of evaluating the difference between, injury and what you can do and what you can't do. So
hurt versus injured. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good way.
Yeah. Speaking of a good evaluation, check out our friends at Your Pie and try their spicy barbecue pulled pork pizza. It's very, very spicy. It's delicious. You get pulled pork, red onions, mozzarella, cilantro, pickled jalapenos, and barbecue sauce together on a mouthwatering crust that they do. Their crust is so good there. A lot of people are big onto how good is a crust, or, the crust makes the pizza. I get that. I get that argument. I understand it. I like to me, it's more about the toppings. Crust is good, but it's not make or break for me. Their crust is phenomenal. The way they cook it on those high heat ovens, it's great, and it's really fast. So you can go into any of your pie. It's Tuesday. We're back on our Tuesday schedule. Today is double points day. You can order anything through their app, and you'll get twice as many points. That will get you free breadsticks, free pizzas, free gelato, free drinks, all sorts of good stuff. And you can either do delivery, or you can do pickup, or you can eat in. Go ahead and order it on the app, get double points, swing by, pick it up, eat it there. So it's very easy to do. Tons of locations all over the state, all over the Southeast. Check out your pie nearest you. Also want to mention our friends at MyPerfectFranchise.net. They have a new post today. They do this once a month. They have a basically you guess the franchise. And if you guess the franchise correctly on UGASports.com, you either get a one-year membership or you can give that one-year membership. We've had a couple of people win one-year memberships, and we've had a couple of people give them away. So this month's concept, it's a $94 billion in fitness industry, and it's basically 20 minutes a week, one-on-one training, monthly recurring subscription revenue. You only need a small space for it. You need very few employees. It's a brick-and-mortar business, and it's an owner-operator or exclusive executive ownership. And they're like, hey, what is it going to be? If you can guess it, they got it for you. And I'm like, man, this sounds very interesting. It's in the fitness industry. A lot of people getting fit. I don't know what it is. We've had some people make some guesses. Walt Dog said it's Hot Works. I don't know if that's correct or not. But the point being is there are so many different franchises out there that they can do this once a month. They've been doing it for 2 or 3 years on our site. Guess the franchise. And some people guess it. A lot of people miss because there's so many of them. So there's 3,000 different ones that our friends at My Perfect Franchise can guide you into owning. So check it out when you get a chance, MyPerfectFranchise.net. Get out of your 9-to-5 and into something that will make you a lot of money.
Coach, we've had some fans express their displeasure with the Master Saturday being the day of G-Day. I know you've told us a story of how nervous you were when you got to play Augusta National, but when you became Georgia's head coach, did you have any experiences or conversations that kind of made you learn where the Master stood in the priority list of this fan base and how those overlap with Georgia fans?
Not really. I mean, you got to look at your team and schedule accordingly. And our schedule's based on our, exam schedule that we have, making sure they have enough time to get their lifting in after practice is over, after spring game's over. The spring break comes earlier some years, and you have to start later in your practice, or sometimes you start earlier, but it's just a bad break when it comes at the same time, because a lot of the auxiliary people like to go down and watch it Thursday and Friday as well, and you can't do it because of practice and all the other things. So but in the grand scheme of things, not much you can do about it, but it's still too bad. Be a real paradox for people. I guess you can tape either one you want to on Saturday and watch the other part. But
are you guys going to do a watch along for G-Day
on the Masters?
we could do a Masters watch along. That would be fun as hell.
Yeah.
About Sunday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, we just turn it on and just crack jokes and drink beer. And
be a good time. Be a tradition like no other.
Let's get us some questions from UGASports.com. This first one for Roddy, it's from Bulldog Ben. How has NIL changed how you approach recruits during camps and interviews? Has trust decreased or remained the same? Just wondering its impact on journalism.
It hasn't affected how we go about our jobs, because when a kid is, because we're asking him, where are you looking to go to school? You know, now sometimes we might ask them, well, what have you heard from them about NIL? We do ask that. And none of them ever mention amounts and stuff like that. But a lot of it is, you know, about relationships with coaches, how many times they visited, where are they going to visit? Because again, the best mantra in all of recruiting coverage is, you know, follow the visits. That's why I was a little surprised that Matt Zollars had Georgia in his, you know, top two. And he only completed his second visit last Tuesday, and then he was announced on Thursday. And I'm like, this normally if a quarterback's committed, hell, Jared Curtis, the sophomore kid that's committed, has been to Georgia a lot more than that. So, and he's a year younger. My point is, the only thing that's really changed it is when you have to take everything with an additional grain of salt now, because when you had a kid who would – it would sign with Georgia or say, I'm committed, call the coaches, tell him he's coming. Usually he did. You had a kid coming, you know, he's picked out a roommate with his, in his recruiting class and is registered in classes. Hell's enrolled. You know, everything is all the dots, all the I's have been dotted, all the T's have been crossed. Now there's still a parachute clause or just at the last seconds, another school can roll it and say, hey, we're going to triple that school's offer. And that you just have to be prepared for, no matter how certain a kid looks like he's going to a place, that it could change. But it's only like 10 to 15% of the time that happens. The other 80 to 85 to 90% of the guys who commit stay committed the whole time and enroll. There's a question in the thing about Ellis Robinson. Ellis Robinson was the number one cornerback in the nation. He committed, stayed committed, never wavered. I mean, hell, there weren't even rumors. So we, as much as we can, you know, beat our chest about the Dylan Rayolas of the world, you got an Ellis Robinson who had every opportunity to go to a million different places. And it's like, nah, I'm sticking with Georgia.
Question from Bulldog Ben for Coach. What's the toughest part of a head coach's job in between the wrap-up of spring and that first game in the fall?
Oh, good question.
In the past, I would say several things, but now it's all keeping your roster together and adding on to it based on who you lose. So roster management's number one. Then you've got to, you know, academic situation, making sure your guys are eligible and progressing towards graduation, injuries over the spring, how are they going to be rehabbed over the summer, you know, summer jobs for these guys. You know, a lot of them need jobs and, you know, they go back home for a month. Now it's not as much because they're kind of getting paid. So, but then the other thing is just getting your team back in June and starting over. You got that extra month and a half of that you can practice that you didn't used to have. And then the other point is just getting away from it from a coach's perspective. Spend some time with your family and just recharge your batteries and understand you've been going 24/7 for about 11 straight months and kick it back a little bit. But I would say NIL right now is going to be the number one thing that's on Kirby's mind.
From Bulldog Ice, question for Coach. Which opposing coach did you enjoy coaching against? Also, is there an opposing coach that you developed a close friendship with?
You know, I don't know. That would be hard to say. The ones that I whipped her ass were the ones I liked the best. But, you know, which there weren't as many here as there were in other places. But certainly you make friends that along the way that end up being coaches, head coaches, and you stay friends with some that are stay assistant coaches. But never had a lot of pure best associates. You just don't have time to chit chat with guys during being a coach. You just got too many things you got to do with your own team. So occasionally we didn't have texting back then. I know Kirby says they got a texting group that they, you know, go over things that might be things that are saying to their team that they're asking what they're doing with it and all that with your team. So that's the way we used to do it.
Seems like it's more likely you become friends with coaches that you're coaching with on a staff, but then maybe they leave and go other places and you remain friends with them after that.
That's right.
From James.
Come on. I know you want to say anybody that coached at Oklahoma State was the guy you were happiest to beat.
I mean, yeah, I enjoyed that, but there's a couple guys at Oklahoma State that I liked. I mean, Houston Nutt, I still talk to him. I talked to him last week. His brother's undergoing some chemo, and I was checking with him on him. And but, you know, even though there's teams you don't like, it was more the fan base at Oklahoma State than anything. it was more of that, you know, just I know. They were I'm feeling pretty good. I don't want to talk to you.
James Caraway, coach, do you like the spring game structure, or would you prefer playing a D2 school or something like that in a controlled scrimmage?
Well, that's been brought up, and it's definitely a good question. It's been talked about, you know, maybe as a fundraiser, play a school like Clemson or somebody like that. I've never heard too much about playing a lesser school because it'd be a real discrepancy. But you look at the pro teams in the getting ready for their games and all, they do a lot of work against other teams. And what that does is help you rest your players, and you don't spend all your time. Let's just say you got a 53-man roster and you got about 20 extra during pro camp. And you got to work your players so much that it's hard to really, stay healthy. And so I would think it'd be good. Like my first premise today about a spring game is you have to supplement two teams. Well, you wouldn't have to do but one, and they could do some drills like 7-on-7, pass rush, do a lot of things like that you do in a regular scrimmage, and then have a controlled scrimmage. But the part that would be hard about that would you'd get somebody want to be high school Harry and make a late hit, or, you know, it'd be so competitive, it'd be hard to really evaluate it.
Cameron Brooks on Facebook. Any comments on my boy Sakovi White?
I tell you what, he's picking a good guy to call his boy because he's making a move. Guy's quick, and he's got good hands, and he can make things happen. He could be a kick returner along with Evans and Bolden. Those guys are athletic. You know, Malachi can still return kicks if we need him. But we're going to have to make a decision there pretty quick about – which one of those guys between Scovey and Evans, who's going to be around there with Lovett. Pretty good situation there. I like both of these guys.
And then James Caraway asked, Roddy, how big of a recruiting day is the spring game? Looks like a bunch of recruits will be in attendance.
Oh, we had our show last night. We did the show Monday night, and we already named like 3, 4, 5-star guys that are going to be there. The list was impressive. I think the one we talked about the most, I should say, is you're going to have a lot of big names there, but you're getting Justice Terry back on campus. Now, that's a kid from Manchester, about 30 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. He's a 5-star, number one defensive tackle in the nation. He's committed to Georgia for some time, raves about Georgia all the time, from a very pro-Georgia town. Went to USC for a visit and flipped to the Trojans. Georgia tried to get him back a couple weeks ago, but they realized that was going to be Easter weekend, and so they rescheduled. He'll be back in town starting on Friday. He will stay through G-Day, be there on Sunday. So you get him for 3 days, and basically now's your chance to say, look, you were committed here for a long time. Let's talk about this new USC thing. So that's a big one to try to get him back into the fold, but it's going to be a huge weekend. And again, to the article Dane had yesterday, when G-Day 2016, you had all those, you know, Andrew Thomas and Stetson Bennett and all those guys in the stands watching Ludacris perform a concert and watching 93,000 people there. We heard more about G-Day than we heard about any game that year. And again, I mean, it was Kirby's first year, but the point being, the recruits kept talking about what an impact G-Day made on them. And after this G-Day, when you see our updates, you'll see a lot of guys saying, I feel like I could have been there. Coming to practice is cool. Watching a practice is great. But when you see, you know, 50,000 fans sitting in the seats and them all cheering, and you're like, I could envision myself down there. And then you hear about the fact that, you know, there's steak and lobster for the winning team and, you know, beanie weenies for the other team. You're like, all right, this place is fun. I like that. So a lot of kids see themselves on the field on G-Day versus, just coming for a visit on the weekend without anything going on.
But here's two things about G-Day. If you're a first-time recruit, ninth or 10th grader, then it's going to give you something to compare everywhere else you go the rest of your recruiting process.
Great point.
They roll out the red carpet. They do a tremendous job of making every kid that comes feel like he's the only one here, very organized and very on top of it, buttoned up. And the other thing is, if it's a really good player, he's going to see all the other good players that are here in the other positions. And if you've got some guys that are on your side, like Mason Short committed to us, he's going to be working these kids to say, hey, I want you to be playing with me and all that. And so there's a lot to be said about the knowing who your teammates are as compared to going out to SC and not knowing anybody. You know what I'm saying? So it's certainly going to be an issue with the kid because he has flipped. But I like the Pied Piper type deal about everybody being in the room for Georgia that's here. You know, there's not going to be a lot of malcontents here, bad mouth in Georgia on while they're visiting here.
Yeah, let's see. You got Justice Terry, Elias Williams. That's a big one. He'll be in town. Darren Ikhnagaban. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Mason Short, Ethan Barber, Bo Walker. Those guys will be there. To your point, Coach, Jared Curtis, the first commit for 2026, the star quarterback, will be in town working those 2026 guys, saying, look, I was the first one. I'm a five-star. I'm going to be a super. I'm the guy. I'm the quarterback. I'm going to start building this class, and he will be in the ears of a lot of those 2026 guys. I didn't think about that as a great point.
All right, Coach, let's wrap it up with your joke, or I think you may have multiple today.
Yeah. I mean, how much time? What time is it?
Yeah, plenty of time, Coach, for you.
Yeah. Well, do you know what a rich parents say to their kids when they tickle them?
What?
Gucci, Gucci, Gucci.
Oh, God.
All right. So,
we're going to stop. Puns are a step too far.
So this lady goes into the dentist, and the dentist checks her out and says, look, said, I'm just telling you right now, you're going to have a root canal. She said, oh, no, said, I'd rather have another baby than have a root canal. And the dentist said, hey, let me know, because I got to figure out which way to fix the chair. All right.
Oh, I'm going to tell Dr. Halsey that one. He'll love it. He'll love it. Oh, he probably knows. That's a good
one. And then the other one that you told me I could tell that it's not bad. It's just the way the last part of it is what's good.
Just bring it.
This lady goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells her all these good things. And she goes home, tells her husband, said, look, I had a great report today. My blood work, blah, 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 blah. And the guy said, yeah. He's sitting there. And he said that I had the breast of an 18-year-old. And he looked back and said, what did he say about your 45-year-old ass? And she said, your name didn't come up.
That's the good one. Heard last week, still makes me laugh. And that's
so apropos. Let's the guy know where he stands. Okay, but that's it for today. Say goodnight, Gracie. But weren't too bad. But
Coach, your jokes make the show. They're not a complete show until we get the Donnan jokes in there.
That is a good one there. All right. We did have one question here. Thomas Harris was asking about this. How accessible is UGA for pictures? You can bring a camera to the game and shoot. That is completely allowed. But
maybe an UGA, like photos with UGA. That's what I'm guessing.
UGA, I thought you were referring to. That is very limited.
Here's the other thing about accessibility. And I think it's great that the fans can watch the games and all that. But it's just different now with social media, all the outlets that if somebody comes and watches and then tells one thing about your team that they wouldn't know without them being there, it's not worth it. It's just not fair. I don't believe so. I know Roddy loves to have all this.
Yeah, they do.
But it's your team and you want to know about it. If everybody would sign a blood oath that they wouldn't say anything about it, then maybe that would work out. But
yeah,
it's hard. So let's have a good G-Day.
And if you're coming to G-Day, you're not. It's going to be almost impossible to get a picture with Uga. It's really, really tough.
You got a better shot at the Georgia Center than you do the stadium.
Probably got a better shot of getting a one-on-one with Scottie Scheffler at the Masters.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, shout out to all the folks taking part of the Masters and all the people visit are going to see it. Even our own Dane Young.
Yeah,
Dane. Drive safe. Watch out for the traffic. It's a Lulu down there. We see a ton of people at G Day.
Don't eat too many pimento cheese there, Dane.
So y'all stay healthy. Pack the stadium Saturday. Cheer on your dogs, and we will be back next Tuesday at noon to talk about what we saw at G Day. So be sure to join us.